Hey, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of the Strand Tennis Center podcast, filled with tips, advice, tennis, not tennis, just life advice, too, whatever you need. Like it on YouTube. Share it on the podcast as well. Thank you.
How are you, Santi? Welcome to the Strand Tennis Center podcast, another weekly edition of fun-filled facts, entertainment, value, and downright joy at the Strand, buddy. So I'm going to go over a little couple of things. Again, our podcasts are not long because, I don't know, I think you got to get to the point quickly. And once you get to the point, you don't have to have the point ad nauseum. Plus, I don't do much research. So okay. I'm just kidding. I'm going to talk about the thing everybody talks about. And there's been, I don't know, thousands of books, thousands of talks, and I'm going to look at it a little differently. I'm going to talk about mental toughness, Santi.
Mental toughness.
When I say that phrase, what do you think, Santi?
The first thing I think of is like being able to power through things. That's what I think of when I think of mental toughness.
So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to read what mental toughness is if you Google it and you look up the definition. Mental toughness is a personality trait that determines your ability to perform consistently under stress and pressure, and is closely related to the qualities such as character, resilience, grit, and perseverance. How do you develop mental toughness? There's seven things here. So Let me read the definition again. Mental toughness is a personality trait that determines your ability to perform consistently under stress and pressure, and is closely related to qualities such as character, resilience, grit, and perseverance. Now, reading that, they have a lovely picture of a brain here, which I have no idea why. Somehow, look, so to they talk about all these mental toughness coaches and all this thing. By this definition, the way I'm reading it, by the picture of a brain, I don't know, do you think mental toughness is in your brain, or is it something that you develop?
I think it derives from a certain part of your brain, probably.
Okay.
Because there's certain parts of your brain probably that factor into the things that make you not tough, like stresses and anxieties and things like that, or worries. And maybe different parts of the brain help with the mental toughness.
Remember the movie Limitless with...
That was good.
You know, everybody loves that Limitless thing with Bradley Cooper. So if mental toughness is in your brain, yeah, it's something. It's a trait,
right?
So just like depression is a trait, comes from your brain, right? Or hippocampus. I don't even know. I don't know the brain. I'm not a neuroscientist. Listen to Andrew Huberman. He'll tell you more than that. But what I'm saying is, like Limitless, could there be a pill for mental toughness? Could you eventually, if it's in your brain, if there are qualities in your brain, grit, perseverance, those things are mental to me. Could you take, do you think they could devise or get some sort of pill that could make you more mentally tough, do you think? I don't know the chemistry of the head, but the way this definition reads, it looks like it's not something you acquire. It's a personality trait that you have. Now, can you acquire this trait? What do you think?
I don't know if there's a pill that could help you.
No, what I'm saying is, do you think if it is in your brain, mental toughness, do you think one day, this part is another conversation, could they develop some sort of pill to make you mentally tough?
That'd be awesome.
Right? Wouldn't it be cool?
That would help everybody.
Right? So you take this pill and you do not get, it's not even like, you know, because every successful person experiences anxiety. They just handle it better. So that's a difference between, you know, so there's another sidebar with mental toughness and things. It's not like Federer doesn't experience nervousness, all of that stuff. They just handle it better. Just like Billie Jean King used to say, the great players just choke 20% less.
Okay.
Because they just handle it better. So, now, See, it's a weird sort of thing. You take a pill to get away anxiety, right? But that doesn't create mental toughness. You know, there's people that have anxiety that take pills, but it doesn't make them mentally tough. It just gets away the anxiety.
Yeah.
So I would love if anybody could comment, if anybody has any type of idea or experimentation where someone can take an actual medication or some sort of, even if it's environmental, even if it's some sort of food that they, something that they intake that makes them mentally tough. And I think that would be probably a multi-trillion dollar piece of information. So if it's in your brain, mm-hmm. like, so in other words, so if mental toughness, because we're always, I read all these books about mental toughness, you listen to these things, I'm a little bit more cynical about it. I've been teaching people for years. Your brain is pretty wired. It's pretty set. Like, you can look at a student real quick, even if you look them over 6 months, sure, like a person, you can modify your behavior a little bit, understand when you're being an asshole and apologize. Some people are just assholes and they don't know. Mental toughness is very similar to that. Like, some people just have an innate quality to handle things better. And I don't know what that is. I don't know what's in the brain that's making those people more mentally tough. Now, I should do a longer podcast, actually try to interview some sort of neuro person as to what creates mental toughness. Because all of these things about, which is true, your thoughts will create your actions. If you think positive, you'll be positive. But you are still using your own brain. Yeah. Some people are just negative. Yeah. Some people, when they look at you, sent a negative something. Yeah. Some people will miss 3 shots and be like, I'm going to miss the next 7. Some people will miss 3 shots and say, all right, I'm going to make the next 4.
Yeah.
And you can tell someone to say, hey, you just how you see it, right? You miss 3. Think about you're going to make the 4th. People's brains just don't work that way. You can tell them all the tools, and I'll read the 7 things here on Google, how to get a mental toughness mindset. But you're still, it's like a person who has schizophrenia or depression. You're still working with a brain that is somewhat fragmented in a way.
Right.
So if I told you without any type of medical intervention to just think positively, look.
You're saying can we rewire our brain? Is that what you're trying to say?
Can I rewire my brain to, on the simplest terms, we're talking about tennis. Can I rewire my brain to not choke?
Yeah.
To not, like, when I play a match and get nervous, I'm up 3-1, I'm up 4-1, and I just panic and choke. Can I rewire my brain not to do that? Or is that really impossible? Like, if you remember the late Yana Novotna who passed away, she was up 5-1 in Wimbledon. I think she was playing Graf. Or I forget who she was playing. And she completely collapsed.
Oh.
She cried at the end of Wimbledon. It was awful. Can you teach someone not to do that? Is it reps? Is it actually, you know, there's very similar things like behavioral modification with people that have anxiety. They don't take medication. They sit in the panic attack, mm-hmm. and they go, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. Do you get behavioral modification? Do you just play so many matches that you don't get nervous?
Right.
To me, as a student or as a coach dealing with a student, that behavioral modification has got to be such a huge sample size. So if you are want to be mentally tough, to me, you have to be playing matches when you're 7 every day. You know what I mean? It's got to be such a huge example of changing and reprogramming, because at 7 or at 8, let's say your frontal lobe is not as developed. All of those neurons are still firing and growing, so to speak.
Right.
And I'm not have no expert on the brain. I read a couple of books, but no idea. So at that young age, maybe you can program the brain. And I know it develops all the way into the 20s, but when I see players and I see their development, when I see them at 16 or 17, they may be able to calm their anger,
Yeah.
But playing under pressure is very different than calming your anger to me. That's two different things. Like Federer was always an angry kid throwing his racket all over the place. Yeah. He's learned to calm down. It will help him play better under pressure. To me, the only way to get to mental toughness is to take away things like that. Take away the anger, take away the response time, take away the quick reaction. You almost have to take things away instead of reprogramming. Because I really don't believe in this, like, you know, I can think good thoughts. And again, like we would say, the answers and the actions, you have to take action. So the action would be, to me, playing more matches, playing a ton, play, so it becomes second nature. It's the same thing like Barry Bonds. Regardless of his steroid things, his father was Bobby Bonds. All Barry Bonds did was hang out at professional stadiums when he was a kid, just around baseball fields all the time. It's like home.
Yeah.
So when you go up there and play baseball, there's not as much pressure. It's got to be so inside you and so ingrained in you that it programs you. And I think at a young age, yes. I'm just having trouble seeing this mental toughness thing as not a base of really, really kind of already having a pretty solid mindset. I've never seen, like, have you ever seen anybody in your experience who's just, you know, just totally mental out there? They can't get it together. And then all of a sudden you see them in 2 years and they're just a different player.
No.
No, I just don't. It
takes a lot of change to.
There's got to be an innate base. To me, it's just like physical talent. I cannot have no physical ability and all of a sudden I've become a great tennis player. You need a base of talent. You can't just. Some people have just got a certain demeanor that works better for mental toughness. Now, we're not going to go over some things that could help people. Sure. I'm not going to say that you're screwed.
Yeah.
You don't have the mental fortitude. I'm not going to say that you can be as tough mentally as Roger Federer.
Right.
I'm not going to say you're going to be as tough mentally as, you know, some of the great chess players in the world or, you know, oh my God. I mean, there's some things that are just innate. So let's read these seven things. It's just on Google. Let's see what the first thing says. Let's see. Seven ways to develop mental strength and build resilience. And I'll go through this, and then I'll have my own. Mindfulness. When you practice mindfulness, you improve your ability to respond instead of react. So what is mindfulness, Santi?
Mindfulness?
Like
being aware of yourself and your thoughts and.
But listen, when you practice mindfulness, you improve your ability to respond instead of react.
Yeah.
So I guess not flying
taking
off the handle.
Time. Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Mentally tough. To mindfulness means being a little bit more inward, understanding, listening first, not flying
you
off the
it
handle.
Before you react.
How do you learn mindfulness, though?
That's a good question.
You right? So how do you learn? How do you practice mindfulness?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It's a good question, is that what you said?
That's a good question, yeah.
Well, the only way to practice mindfulness is to do, there's a lot of meditative things you can do.
Right.
You can wake up in the morning and do a 5-minute meditation where you just breathe and notice things and not react to them. So the best thing to do is practice that. So if you wake up and do a meditation, so say you do a 5 to 7 minute meditation, whatever breathing technique you want to do, thoughts will go in your head. That's the beauty of meditation. It's not like you don't think anything.
Yeah.
You just learn not to react to those things. So that's what mindfulness is. So if something passes over me, like something at work annoyed me and I'm in a meditation, I'm not going to react to that. You let it pass over you like a cloud, they say.
Okay.
That's practice mindfulness. So sit there and meditate every 5 to 10 minutes a day. Have thoughts come through your head with no reaction. That's the best way to practice mindfulness. Work with a professional. That's great. I love that. Work with a professional.
Is that number two?
Yeah.
Work with a professional.
Keep a journal.
Okay.
Work with a professional. Okay. I mean, we'll go to number two. Sure. I'm sure there's some professionals that can help. I feel like you go back to the Carnegie book, you know, How to Stop Worrying and Be Happy. Those are great because he's just taking all actions. But sure. Read lots of books. Work with a professional. Keep a journal. Why would journaling help, you think?
I guess it helps to express your thoughts. To see it written down, sometimes people learn from it better.
There's a thing called morning pages, which are great. You wake up, you write 10 pages of just whatever's on your mind. You get it all out. It helps you become more calm and understand. So you get all that crap out. So whatever you do, you write for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you write 5 pages, and that's it. You move on. So that can be helpful. Practice self-compassion.
Self-compassion.
Do you do that, Santi? Are you compassionate to yourself?
I would say so, yes.
That's good.
I used to, you know, beat myself up for things in the past. Now I'm very, like, forgiving, I guess.
So that's like missing a forehand. Like Rublev, yeah. You know, he won Monte Carlo, but he's insane out there. If you watch Andre Rublev, he'll beat his head with the racket and lose his mind. That's not practice self-compassion, right? So it's not beating yourself up over a mistake and moving on. That could be great on the tennis court. But again, the only way to do that is reps. Reps. You have to get out there. You've got to play matches. You've got to play. And you can't be afraid of mistakes. Yeah. Being mentally tough, you have to understand, to be mentally tough, you got to look forward to mistakes. Because if you never made a mistake, you're actually not mentally tough.
I feel like you don't learn from
them. You don't know anything. So you need mistakes. Mistakes are a gift. It's very important. Let's see the next one. Get out of your comfort zone. Same thing. Like, if I never make a mistake, everything's great. There's no mental toughness there. My life is great. Everybody takes care of me. It's like getting a kid out of the house, right? You know, we were teaching some kids.
It sounds like it's hard nowadays to get the kids out of the house.
It is, Santi. It is. So we were teaching, we were doing something, whatever, I won't say anything, but they're all still living at home because they just love it.
Are you talking about older kids?
Older kids.
Oh, you're talking about older kids.
Yeah, older kids, like in their 20s. I'm like, don't you want to get out of that? I mean, to me, it was like a rite of passage to get out of the house. You felt like you were accomplishing something.
Yeah.
That's not out of your comfort zone. And we can talk about a whole generational thing. If a whole generation doesn't get out of their comfort zone, we're not accomplishing things.
Right.
So if you don't get out of your comfort zone, if you don't, and again, like I'll tell every player, if you don't play that player worse than you, that's not out of your comfort zone either.
Yeah.
Playing someone better than you is what? That's really comfortable because if you lose,
you know you might have supposed to lose.
You're supposed to lose.
Yeah, so you can give it
so
your
the
all
best way not, to get to mental toughness is to play someone that is not as good as you because that's pressure and that's embarrassment and that sucks when you lose, but get used to that.
Yep.
So getting out of your comfort zone is really big and do it by paying people worse than you.
Yeah.
That will make you really mentally tough. Again, think about Serena. Everybody she played, she was supposed to beat. That's tough. And then if you lose a match, you can't win every match. You're a failure. So to get out of your comfort zone on the tennis court, play people you're supposed to beat. Okay. Develop a daily routine. So how do you think that will help your mental toughness?
I think it reduces, like, stresses of, like, everyday worries because you have the same thing going on. I actually think about, I want to do that sometimes, have, like, a daily routine. I kind of just go with the flow a lot with a lot of things. And I do feel like, you know, in school they used to teach us to, like, keep a planner, track out things, do this, do that, write down, whatever. I feel like it does help a lot of people.
I'll give you a book. Called Morning Rituals.
Morning Rituals.
Not Tim Ferriss, but Tim Ferriss talks about it a lot. It's about the morning rituals of all these successful people.
Yeah.
So it's good to have a daily routine in regards to mental toughness because it keeps focus. Mental toughness takes focus. So if you have a daily routine, something you can stick to creates focus. And if you can create focus in a morning routine or a daily routine, it'll translate out on the court. Because you're keeping a focus. If you're all over the place, it's like anything. If you come to work, you're all over the place.
Yeah.
By the time you get here, you're like, ugh. You know.
Yeah.
So if you keep that mental focus, a daily routine before your match, you keep a ritual before your match, it's going to keep focus. Daily routine helps you stay focused, and it creates confidence. If you can do the daily routine, you build confidence. Say, wow, I've done this for 6 months in a row. I woke up, I worked out, I meditated, I plunged, whatever I did. I did jump rope. I have real discipline. I can get out in that court and I can have discipline. And that can really help you.
Makes sense.
Keep your connections strong. What do you think that? How do you think that helps?
keep your connections strong, like personal relationships.
Yeah.
I guess if you're on top of them, you express yourself and you listen to them and they listen to you and you get to, you know, in a way, talking to someone just about anything kind of helps de-stress people all the time anyway. So
go ahead, Cindy. Get in here. That's mental toughness. I got to stay focused. People walk in through the pickleball. Focus. Yeah, if you can express yourself, be expressed, listen without reacting, that's a good connection you can create, and that helps breed mental toughness. So all of these seven things, we'll read through them again. Mindfulness. When you practice mindfulness, you improve your ability to respond instead of react. Work with a professional. Keep a journal. Practice self-compassion. Get out of your comfort zone. Develop a daily routine. Keep your connections strong. All of those things, and I'm going to be honest with everybody, can help your mental toughness. To a point. If you're starting from 4, you'll get to 7. If you're starting from 8, you get to 12. There's some people that already have a nuance, an ability like that. You know people. There's some people that are great salesmen, and there's some people that aren't.
Yeah.
And it's, again, it's like anything. It's not my job to go, all right, I'm going to make you better at this, so we're going to work all day on this. But even though you're not great at it, your brain doesn't work that way, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, if you're playing this game, you can only get to a certain level mentally. I really believe that. Like, some people are innate. These things can help. But it's not going to make you 10 times mentally more tough than somebody else.
Yeah.
Because you don't know anybody else's circumstance, too. Some people could be from, like Djokovic, a war-torn country. You know how tough that made him? Think about how that has something to do with it, right? Yeah. You come from Bosnia and the whole war in Serbia and all the civil war going on. Bombs. He's trying to play tennis. There's bombs going off. You know how mentally tough that makes you?
Yeah.
Why do you think Tiger Woods' father was screaming during his backswing while he was a kid and yelling? Like, those things are for a reason.
Yeah.
So you have to realize some people are just, their makeup, their adversity, how they're born in a certain way just makes them tougher. That's why in the United States we don't have all these super great tennis players, because to me the mental part of it is key. And if they have a good life, and most of the tennis players are in this country or come from well-to-do families, it's got to be innate. You got to have some inner mental toughness, because the outside environment with going to private schools and doing all these things, it's very hard to be tough.
That's why a lot of boxers come from, like, poor backgrounds, and they're some of the greatest boxers around. They're so tough.
Well, why do you think boxers come from a poor background?
I mean, maybe they have anger issues, or they're just used to being ready to fight. I don't know.
Well, look, boxing is not a super expensive sport in the beginning.
Right.
You can go to a gym with some gloves and box. Boxing is the only way out for many people. So if you're from Latin America or from a country that you have no other opportunities, but you can fight, you can get out. You're not going to see an Ivy League kid here going boxing.
No.
There's too many opportunities for them to do.
Yeah.
Too many things to go on. So less opportunity, you're going to see more boxers in areas like that. You're not going to see, when's the last boxer you've seen? I mean, Tyson was an orphan, right? Like all those things are, you're not going to see a boxer that's got a master's degree in, it just doesn't usually happen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Lennox Lewis is a pretty intelligent guy, but it's very rare.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're not smart, but it's very rare to have somebody that's, you know, has the exposure and well-read and all these things to be able to have all this wealth of information exposed to them. Most of the time, it's from an economic background that's very tough, and it's the only way out. That's why a lot of football players are not going to play professional here. They're going to play in areas where it's the only way to get a scholarship is to play football.
Makes sense.
So, mental toughness is a real dicey one. It's not easy to, I don't think, and again, just to repeat, I don't think mental toughness is something that you can go from 0 to 100 on when you have no mental toughness. There's got to be certain environmental adversities. There's got to be certain genetic makeups in yourself that already make you somewhat mentally tough. And again, those tools that we went over can help. I'm not saying that a kid can't, like, achieve good things, even great things, when they're kind of suspect mentally. I just don't think they're going to be, you know, think of Tiafo, who was down in College Park, Maryland. His father was the janitor. They had no money.
Yeah.
And he came out of there, right? How many other juniors came out of there? No, he came out of there. There was a little adversity there, right?
Yeah.
And he's tough. So that's the part. We're going to do a little mental toughness series. We just kind of discuss mental toughness. Then we're going to discuss next week how you deal mentally with your partner and your opponent. And how do you handle that? How do you handle your partner? How do you handle the mental side from your partner? And how do you deal with them? Yeah. Because you can handle yourself there on a singles court. You're dealing with yourself. How do you handle your partner? How do you handle your opponent mentally? What are the tips and trades you need to do when an opponent is calling balls close? When an opponent is questioning everything you do? When your partner is blaming you for everything? When your partner is saying and telling you what to do and telling you how to play? We'll go over all that. That's part of the mental side, too, which we can help here a lot more because it's more of a life sport here, and that can help. We're not talking about being number one in the world there. We're talking about how do I handle a weekly match with somebody that's just driving me crazy? How do I deal with it? So we'll talk about that next week. And the NHL playoffs are on. We're going to have Sergei Brylin in here. Luckily, he's going to come in here after the playoffs are over, assistant Devils coach. Cool. He will talk about mental toughness as well because he's one of the most mentally tough men I've ever seen. Sergei is...
Does he play tennis here? Or
his kids play tennis here.
Oh.
And he was an NHL player. Yeah. And he won a Stanley Cup with the Devils, and he's their assistant coach right now. That's did they win last night, or the Rangers win?
I think the Rangers won.
They did?
I don't know. You have to ask CJ, but...
Let's look that up. Who won the game? Let's see. Sorry, guys. Rangers score. Let's see. They won 5-1. Wow.
Yeah.
Surprised. Devils had the best season of their franchise history, right? How many points? That's crazy. Anyways, but we'll have him here discuss success and mental toughness. So everybody, mental toughness, few weeks, ending up with the interview of one of the most mentally tough guys I've ever seen. Everybody, thank you, Santi. Hopefully you're well. Answers in the actions, everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody. Hope you like the podcast. Please share with your friends, anybody that you know, anybody that's into tennis, anybody that's into bettering themselves, share it.